We're going to be talking all things matric exam related with educational psychologist Marijke du Plessis. Marijke, thanks for chatting to me this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. I think exam season is one of those times when stress seems to be at every dinner table. And I think learners, sure, parents, and everybody alike feels this. So thank you for having me. I really do appreciate.
So that's interesting you mentioned the words parents, because before we get into kids, and we're going to talk about matriculants for pretty much the rest of the time, I'm just interested in that old Afrikaans saying, ma skryf matric, mom's writing matric. Do you think there's like some truth to that?
Most definitely, and I don't think it's just matric. I always say to my clients when exam season hits, it's almost like, well, good luck with the exams when they leave my therapy room. it's a systemic challenge that we are sitting with. But parents play such an important role in this big event, especially in our matric year, to help our learners just manage with the stress and anxiety that comes with it.
And I would imagine that inadvertently they could be adding to the stress instead of lessening the stress, because you need the tools to know what you're doing in this situation.
Exactly. And that's where co-regulation is so important, which is essentially the calmness that a parent can bring to that exam anxiety that the learner might experiencing. You know, we regulate together, and we struggle in that moment of stress to be able to turn inwards and just feel calm. So parents play a very important role, and that's what we refer to as co-regulation. And remember that stress is contagious, but so is calm. So if the household is calm, then that filters through to the learner, essentially.
Let's rewind to the very beginning, because this issue of stress is really important. How or what are the most common signs of stress that students would experience during this particular time?
So I think it's important that we normalize stress as well. I think stress in moderate, in klein gedeeltes, you know, it can sharpen the focus and it keeps us motivated. And I always say to my clients, especially the young adolescents, young adults, when we're stressed about something, it actually just tells us that whatever we are busy with is important to us. So stress, it looks different for everybody. You can become restless, more irritable, others withdraw, the big procrastinators. So it looks different for everybody. But what I think is important to remember about stress, it's a natural response. It's the fight and flight response that is activated. Adrenaline is released, cortisol is released, but unfortunately the brain at that moment is not able to distinguish between, you know, this horrible lion that is a perceived threat or that math paper that you're facing tomorrow. So the same sensations in the body gets activated, but we struggle to understand that this is just a perceived threat. It's not a real threat.
And what does a parent need to look out for in a kid in terms of ascertaining whether they are suffering from a significantly severe form of stress, or whether it's just normal stress? Are they biting their fingernails, or they're sitting in a corner shaking? I mean, what are the signals?
I think it's important that we also acknowledge the changes in behavior that may take place. I mean, we know our children, and we can see when their behavior changes significantly. But definitely the physical features: are they eating less, sleep disturbances, just that ability to go to bed at an appropriate time, staying up late, studying. So all those, I think behavior changes is the big marker for parents to look out for.
Must be a really difficult skill to be able to identify. You know, I hear what you're saying about stress being important because it shows that what you're doing is valued and important. But at some point it becomes harmful, and knowing when you've crossed the line must be an absolute art.
It is quite harmful, and that is when the stress or the flight and flight response is not switching off. So when we are unable to distinguish between what the real threat is and what the perceived threat is, and we are unable to switch that alarm system off. So when we sit with continued stress responses, heart palpitations, heavy breathing, pounding heart. I always describe to my littlies butterflies in the tummy, sleep disturbances. Then it's becoming harmful, most definitely. So to look out for that would be telltale signs for a parent, and then withdrawal as well. What is your child doing in when not studying? Are they focused on their phones? What are they using to regulate? So that is important signs to also look out for.
So then I guess possibly the most important question I'm going to ask you this afternoon is, let's just take the top three practical strategies that students can use to manage stress more effectively.
Well, I like to think about it as hygiene habits. So hygiene, keeping it clean. And my top three hygiene habits would be sleep hygiene, nutritional hygiene, and then balance hygiene.
So what was the last one?
Balance hygiene.
Okay.
So sleep, nutrition, and balance. So our sleep hygiene, don't study where you sleep. Let your brain link your bed with rest and not stress. So when we rest, we also digest. And I think students think the more they cram in or the later they study, the more they will remember. But at some point, the brain is just like, I'm over this. I can't do it anymore. So then it's time for rest. And then your brain takes in what you have studied. My nutrition hygiene is good fuel. Is good for focus. So balanced meals, fruit, water, try and avoid the caffeine and the sugar spikes, the energy drinks and so on.
Okay.
Those are not functional in studying, as you have this spike in energy, but then you crash. And then, of course, your balance hygiene, study in short bursts and celebrate your small wins. What I always suggest to my clients they do is rather make a done list than a to-do list, because then the brain can see the progress. And it's not like this whole list of things that you still need to do, whereas if you see the pile growing of what you've already done, that is so rewarding, and you see the progress and you remain motivated.
That actually is the most practical, awesome advice. Thank you for that. That makes such perfect sense, but that's sort of long-term. Let's assume I'm a student and right now I feel like a bit of a panic coming on. I don't know, I'm just overwhelmed by the amount that I need to do this evening. Are there ways that one could sort of, I don't know, self-talk or breathe, or is there anything one can do if you've got the awareness that this is happening to talk yourself down?
And that's so important, the point that you're raising there. I think we started off with the physical sensation to, become aware of the body alerting you to the stress response being activated. And then your mindset, like you said, so your mindset changes everything by telling ourselves that I can't do this. The body hears the danger. So we just reinforce that fight and flight response. So definitely breathing. So being present in the moment, if you feel those bodily sensations coming on, breathing. So breathing in for four counts and out for six. It helps the nervous system calm down.
Wow.
What else you can do is grounding yourself, using the senses. So what can you feel? What can you smell? What can you taste in that moment? And then micro pauses. Just stop and breathe, roll your shoulders, and then you start again. So being aware of the sensations that you're experiencing in that moment and grounding yourself really does help our students. And then, like I said, with parents being involved, speaking to your parents and telling them that you're feeling overwhelmed, and co-regulation in that way that can also facilitate the calming of the nervous system.
Again, I'm just listening to you and I'm smiling because it's the most practical, wonderfully practical advice you're giving us this afternoon. Really, it's going to make a massive difference. Final question for you in terms of, and this one relates to the parental support. How would you suggest that parents can best support their children during this period? And, you know, I suppose it's never one size fits all. Some kids leave me alone. Others, I need to be on your shoulder. How do they navigate this minefield?
And like I said, our children unfortunately don't regulate in isolation. So I think it's also important for parents to be aware of these sensations that they may experience. And parents are under immense pressure at this point in time. They've got work they need to do. So it's hard to come home and then be that regulator for the child. But if a parent is grounded, the child also feels grounded. So instead of, and I like changing the name in. Have rather how are you feeling? So changing the narrative to the feeling that the student may be experiencing. How are you feeling about tomorrow's maths paper or accounting paper? How can I support you tonight? And I think it's important that parents also communicate to the learners that they are feeling overwhelmed if they can't be there in that moment, so that we remain on the same page in terms of communication within the household.
Marijke du Plessis, educational psychologist, you certainly know your material. Thank you for chatting to me this afternoon.
Thank you for having me, Simon, and all the best with the exams out there. Parents alike, I hope you are made go smoothly, and before
stress-free.
You know it, it will be over.
Stress-free.
A little bit of stress to keep us motivated and know that it's important.
Exactly.